Last week, we kicked off our year-long States of the Union series with a look at which issues matter in Iowa. This week, we look at the Commonwealth of Virginia. And joining me now to explain what will get voters in the Old Dominion to the polls is Tim Craig, a staff writer for The Washington Post and a contributor to the Post's Virginia Politics blog. I'm pleased to welcome him to the States of the Union series on The Leonard Lopate Show. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon from New York City. Democrats won control of Virginia's state Senate last week. Was that unexpected?
Well, it's sort of unexpected because, you know, the Republicans had been in firm control of the General Assembly ever since the late 1990s. Historically, Virginia has always been a Democratic state until the 1990s when it began to realign towards Republicans like a lot of other southern states. But in this last election, the Democrats put up a case that, you know, their party was on the upswing in Virginia and that Republicans had become too focused on ideological or divisive social issues, and the time was needed to flip control of the General Assembly to the Democrats. Democrats won four Senate seats, which is a pretty large undertaking in a state like Virginia. It's the second largest party gain since the early 90s. And now they will control the Virginia State Senate for the first time since 1999.
Don't the Republicans maintain control of the State House?
The Republicans do have about an eight-seat majority in the House of Delegates, so you will have divided control of the Virginia General Assembly. And we have a Democratic governor in Virginia as well. So people are bracing for a bit of gridlock coming years.
Senator John Warner, a Republican, recently suggested that Virginia Republicans are starting to pay the price for moving too far to the right. Is that your take?
This is ongoing and big split within the Virginia Republican Party that's really surfaced over the last couple of years, but really has been intensifying in recent years, about, you know, what direction does the party take? The party has, Republicans have been losing statewide races over the last couple of years because they've failed to connect with Northern Virginia. Northern Virginia is predominantly the suburbs of Washington, D.C., a growing and diverse part of the state. And the Republicans have struggled there to do well in recent elections, as evidenced by Senator Webb's victory over George Allen last year and Governor Timothy M. Kaine's victory in 2005 in the governor's race. And the conservatives say the party needs to get back to its core principles of low taxes, family values, in order to succeed. But a growing number of moderate Republicans say that, you know, that message is not resonating well with Northern Virginians and it's costing us seats in the legislature and the governor's mansion.
There was a low voter turnout last week, so should we take the results of the elections with a grain of salt?
Well, no, because historically Virginia has always had low turnout in these elections, dating back to the Byrd machine. Virginia's held elections for state assembly on off years like this. So there's no statewide candidates on the ballot, so it's really hard to get people out to vote. But they had about a 32-33% turnout, which is about normal for this type of election.
How will last week's election affect the redistricting that's planned for Virginia?
Well, that's the key. That was a key argument during the race. If the Republicans had retained control of the Senate, and if a Republican was elected governor in 2009, Republicans would have complete control over redistricting, which they had back in 2001. And that affects, you know, the writing of not only state legislative boundaries, but also congressional boundaries as well. Currently, there are eight Republicans and three Democrats in the Virginia congressional delegation. And a lot of Democrats say those boundaries don't reflect the current divide of the electorate, which is pretty closely divided 50-50. So with Democrats are now at least guaranteed a seat at the table, there could be some tweaking of those boundaries, which could benefit the Democrats in future elections next decade.
So even with the redistricting in 2001, when Republicans were in control, they haven't been able to stop the erosion of their lock on the State House.
No, that's kind of a very interesting point, is that had these boundaries not been written so favorably for Republican candidates, you could have saw a lot more losses in last week's election. Even though they picked up four seats, there were another four seats that were very, very close that a couple thousand votes could have meant the difference between a four-seat Democratic pickup, which they got, and as many as eight seats flipping to the Democrats, which may show an underlying realignment of the state back towards the Democratic Party in the long run if Republicans can't find some way to stop the bleeding.
I'm Amy Eddings. I'm sitting in for Leonard Lopate today. I'm speaking with Tim Craig. He's a staff writer for The Washington Post and a contributor to its Virginia Politics blog. And this is part of our States of the Union series in which we look at issues that matter to States of the Union in as we approach the upcoming presidential election next year. Tim, the governor, Tim Kaine, is also a Democrat. This summer, Senator John Warner announced his retirement, and his seat is expected to go to Democrat and former governor Mark Warner, no relation. Along with last week's results, is this a decisive swing to the left? And I guess what I mean to say by that is, what does the left mean in Virginia? How left-wing are Virginia's Democrats?
Well, yeah, Virginia's still a south of the Mason-Dixon line state where, you know, it's the electorate is far different than it would be, for instance, in New York. But Democrats have been making inroads in part by stressing what they call a moderate approach to governance. They try to downplay the social issues. They try not to get locked into debates about abortion or gay rights or the death penalty. But they want to focus on what they call the nuts and bolts of governing: more money for education, more money for highways, more money for healthcare. And that party has resonated, particularly in Northern Virginia, where a lot of people who are moving into Northern Virginia are from northern states. They moved to the Washington region for jobs in the government or the defense industry or the contracting industry. And they take many of those values that they learned or were brought up with in other places to them. So that is fundamentally altering the shift of politics in Northern Virginia. And with Northern Virginia growing rapidly, with the rest of the state either stagnant or not losing population, it appears to be only a matter of time before Northern Virginia actually becomes the dominant political force in state politics. And that could have ramifications not only for statewide races, but the presidential race in 2008 and beyond. Virginia hasn't elected a Democratic presidential candidate since 1964.
Wow.
And some people are saying, you know, maybe 2008 could be the year where Democrats could make an inroad and carry the state of Virginia, which has 13 electoral votes. In 2000, if a Democrat had won Virginia, well, Florida wouldn't have mattered. If a Democrat had won Virginia in 2004, well, Ohio wouldn't have mattered. So it could fundamentally alter not just the politics of Virginia, but the politics nationally when it comes to presidential contests.
Have the Democratic presidential candidates been visiting Virginia a lot?
Not a lot, but they have been. They have been here. Virginia holds its primary February 12th. Governor Kaine has been very active. He was an early supporter of Barack Obama. And actually, Governor Kaine is going to Iowa this weekend to campaign for Barack Obama. Hillary Clinton has been here for some fundraisers and other things. And Fred Thompson has also been here through the state making a campaign swing. But next year is going to be very interesting whether Democrats can keep up this momentum and make Virginia competitive. Bill Clinton in 1996 made a push at Virginia. He still lost to Bob Dole, but he made a push at Virginia. As we head into 2008, the question is going to become, can a Democrat really make a push to make this state competitive? And that remains up in the air. The Washington Post did a poll last month where people were asked generically, do you support a Republican or a Democrat for president in 2008? The Democrats had an 11 percentage point advantage in that poll, which causes many to believe this state really will be competitive. On the other hand, a lot of Republicans say if Hillary Clinton's the nominee, she's too divisive. She probably will not be able to win Virginia. But who knows? It's still up in the air.
In statewide polls for both Republican and Democratic presidential candidates, who's the favored candidate?
Well, in our poll, we didn't ask specifically who do you support, which candidate. We asked generically for party, and that had an 11-point Democratic advantage. Other polls have come out that show it pretty narrowly divided right now. I saw a poll last week that had Hillary Clinton and Rudy Giuliani basically tied in the state of Virginia heading into 2008. But one thing about Virginia politics that people have to keep in mind is there are a lot of military voters in Hampton Roads that are in the Navy, Norfolk. They're overseas, but they vote by absentee ballot. The ballots are counted in Virginia. And how those voters shake out and where they come down could play a big role in who carries the state in 2008.
Bush won Virginia in 2000. He had an even more decisive margin of victory in 2004. How's the political scene in Virginia changed since that election?
Well, I mean, Bush's popularity in Virginia has plunged over the last 8 years.
And that's surprising to me, given what you just said about Hampton Roads and the fact that Virginia is... Norfolk as the world's largest naval base.
Yeah, the world's largest naval base. And
you've got the CIA headquarters there.
And another thing people often forget about Virginia is it is home to both Pat Robertson's 700 Club Christian Coalition and Jerry Falwell's, the late Reverend Falwell's, Liberty University, and his home base is in Lynchburg, Virginia. Mm-hmm. So Virginia really is the home of the modern conservative evangelical movement in many respects. And they have a lot. Exit polls show that about 40% of the electorate in Virginia consider themselves to be born-again Christians. So they have a dominant and preeminent influence in state politics. With that said, polls show that Bush has declined pretty substantially. His approval rating is like 35-34% in the state of Virginia. Now the question becomes, when Virginia voters are faced with a choice next year when President Bush is not on the ballot, say it is Hillary Clinton versus, say, Mitt Romney or Rudy Giuliani, which mm-hmm. way they come down, and whether Bush will still be a factor in the decision, or by that point Bush will be enough off the national stage that it will come down to a vote on, you know, principles and party.
Is it the Iraq War that has made Bush
so
popular?
Yeah, I think a big thing is the Iraq War. The war is not popular in the state like it isn't across the country. But part of it also is there are demographic shifts occurring in Northern Virginia. We're becoming a much more diverse state. The Hispanic population is growing rapidly in parts of Northern Virginia. There are 100,000 Muslim voters in Virginia now. And those all, this will be the first election where there's not an incumbent seeking office for president, where all these demographic changes are also going to come into play.
Hmm. What are the most important constituencies in Virginia right now, given this state of flux?
Well, I've named some of them. Veterans, there are a lot of veterans in the state of Virginia. There are a lot of active duty military personnel in the state of Virginia. There are a lot of social conservatives in the state of Virginia. There are a lot of gun owners in the state of Virginia. It's a big gun state in terms of right to carry a firearm. But in Northern Virginia, you got a big block of suburban, they used to be called suburban soccer moms a couple election cycles ago, but now they're kind of, you know, there are a lot of women who, they raised their family, they're professional women, they're working at the same time, and they really are swing voters in these elections. You have Fairfax County right outside of Washington, D.C., is a county of a million people. Historically, it has been a fairly Republican-leaning county. But in the last couple elections, Democrats have been doing very well there. Now, whether a Republican presidential candidate can win back those voters in 08 or whether they continue to trend towards the Democrats probably will decide who wins the state of Virginia in 2008.
There are also a lot of defense contractors, public employees.
A lot of defense contractors. You're right. You're very right about that.
Do those industries have an impact on certain issues like the minimum wage or defense spending?
Well, minimum wage is never... Minimum wage is a right-to-work state in Virginia, and it's unions never have that much influence in the state politics, and they never have historically. But the defense contractors up there, the thing about Northern Virginia is they're very geared towards national politics. They read, for instance, their hometown newspaper, the Washington Post, mm-hmm. which we do a pretty good job of covering national politics. And a lot of issues with the federal government bleeds over in the state contest. Which is one thing you saw in last week's state legislative elections. There's often candidates for the House of Delegates, which arguably have nothing to do with the war in Iraq. They tell stories of going door to door, and the first question they're asked about is, what's your plan for bringing the troops home? So that just shows you how a lot of the politics in Northern Virginia are geared towards Washington. And how that all plays out for 2008 remains to be seen. And it's going to be, could be a close contest, or Virginia could revert back to its southern roots, and when push comes to shove, Democrats won't be able to make inroads here.
So it's at a real pivotal point. What are the top three issues that will get out the vote in Virginia?
Going into 2008?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the war, I think, is still going to be a top issue. But increasingly, the economy, I see, is emerging as an issue of the housing market. Virginia, like a lot of states, is seeing a rise in foreclosures. And how that all pivots off into the national economic debate will be influential. And then the... I think the war on terrorism is still going to be a big issue in 2008.
What about immigration?
Immigration is a very big issue in Virginia, and it will continue to be a big issue. A lot of, especially the outer suburbs, are undergoing a pretty dynamic demographic shifts where, 10 years ago, they were all predominantly white neighborhoods. Now, a lot of Hispanics have moved into those areas seeking jobs, seeking affordable housing. And that has really created a tension in some of those communities about immigration policy. And we saw after the federal government failed to enact an immigration reform this year, it became a very hot issue in these state legislative races. The Republicans used it heavily to try to rally their base and try to push for greater state controls on immigration. Governor Kaine and the Democrats pushed back and said, you know, immigration is a federal issue. This shouldn't be dealt with by the states. Let's let the federal government deal with those. And the Democrats had some success in making that argument. But next year in a presidential race, there's not going to be the same argument. The argument next year is going to be, okay, what does the federal government do about immigration? And it doesn't seem to be much support as the electorate as a whole for something that is widely referred to as amnesty. That puts a lot of people's antennas up. Mm-hmm. And even in the immigration debate in Congress, Democrat Jim Webb and Senator Warner both voted against a comprehensive immigration plan because it included that provision that could lead to a path for citizenship. But I do expect immigration will be a hot issue in Virginia, as it probably will be nationwide. It really will come down to which party can appear like they want to address the issue. But Virginia historically doesn't like to go too far one way or the other. So if there seems to be that one party is trying to use this issue for, you know, politics or is too mean-spirited, it could backfire on the Republicans.
In last night's Democratic debate, driver's licenses for illegal immigrants came up again. It's been a big story here in New York. Is that a controversy that's important to Virginians?
No, I mean, they dealt with this issue shortly after 9/11. I believe after 9/11, actually, one of the 9/11 hijackers was found to have had a Virginia driver's license somehow. And as you know, the Pentagon was in Virginia, and that was a big source of controversy. So the General Assembly and actually former Governor Warner moved to quickly cut off any access to driver's licenses for anyone in the country who was not a documented citizen. So I don't expect Virginia would ever go down that road again for the near future.
I've been speaking with Tim Craig. He's a staff writer for The Washington Post and a contributor to its Virginia Politics blog. It's part of WNYC's it's our States of the Union series here on the Leonard Lopate program. Thank you so much, Tim, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And I am Amy Eddings, sitting in for Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC New York, and we're also heard online at WNYC.org.